Theatre Royal. The very name summons up something of grandeur and eloquence, and it was. Hosted by Ralph Richardson, these big-name productions also included the creme de la creme of acting talent, from John Gielgud, Robert Morley and Orson Welles, to Trevor Howard, Michael Redgrave and Laurence Olivier. They were based on works by the world's leading authors, among them Charles Dickens, Henry James, Oscar Wilde and Anton Chekhov. These are but a few of whose company we shall be keeping as we raise the curtain on our first instalment of theatrical history.
The National Broadcasting Company present, transcribed, Sir Ralph Richardson in Theatre Royal.
This is Ralph Richardson. Our play today is based on another story by Henry James, an author for whom I have an infinite admiration. I've always thought that this was a tale which would dramatize well, and I hope that you will like my choice. Here then is our story by Henry James, The Liar. I first met him at a house party at Stays in the middle of Hertfordshire. I'd been asked down by Arthur Ashmore so that I could paint a portrait of his father, Sir David. It was quite a gathering of us. Most of the faces were new to me that first evening. I remember singling him out from the very first, a handsome, striking figure of a man. What was odd in him was a certain mixture of the correct and the extravagant, as if he were an adventurer imitating a gentleman with rare perfection.
Oh, that's Colonel Capadose. He's been a great deal in India. Isn't he rather celebrated? Oh, perhaps he isn't, but he says he is. And if you think it, well, that's just the same, isn't it?
If you think it?
I mean, if he thinks it, that's just as good, I suppose.
Do you mean if he thinks he's done things he hasn't?
Oh, dear, no, because I never really know the difference between what people say and... Well, he's exceedingly clever and amusing. Quite the cleverest person in the house. Unless, indeed, you're more so. For that I can't tell yet, can I? I only know about the people I know, and I think that's celebrity enough.
Enough for them?
Ah, I see. You are clever. Enough for me. But I've heard of you. You're a well-known artist, and I know your pictures. I admire them. But I don't think you look like them.
Well, they're mostly portraits. What I usually try for is not my own resemblance.
I see what you mean. But they have much more colour. Don't you suppose Van Dyck's things tell a lot about him? And now you're going to do someone here?
I've been invited to do Sir David. I'm rather disappointed at not seeing him this evening.
Oh, he goes to bed at some unnatural hour. 8 o'clock, after porridge and milk. You know he's rather an old mummy.
Well, I know he's very old. 90-odd, isn't it? I'm surprised at his never having had his portrait done before.
Ah, that's because he was afraid, you know. It was his pet superstition. He was sure that if anything were done, he would die directly afterwards.
Well, I hope I shan't kill him. It was rather unnatural of his son to send for me. It was not until dinner was nearly over that I first caught sight of her, Everina. The Everina I'd loved so deeply these many years ago. The Everina I still loved as I gazed at her, sitting there, so near to me, so beautiful, so very absorbed. Absorbed, unfortunately, in somebody else. She was gazing across the table at Colonel Capadose as though she were in love with him. Once again, I turned for enlightenment to the lady on my right.
The lady with the profile. Oh, that's Mrs. Capadose.
Do you mean his wife? That fellow, Everina?
You know her, then?